Or good morning for those to the east of us. It's a special zechus to be able to introduce our speaker for tonight. My relationship with Rav Nussbacher goes back around 25 years. My Shana Bet in Shalavim was Rav Nussbacher Shana Aleph. No, it doesn't mean that I'm a year older than Rav Nussbacher. My Shana Bet was Rav Nussbacher's first year teaching Shana Bet Talmidim at the yeshiva. And I owe him a great sense of Hakar Satov for showing me so many ideas in terms of my learning, my future learning, and putting me in a mahalach, in a derech. And it's a very special zechus for me to be here tonight with him to introduce him to the Talmidim. For those of you that are Talmidim Rav Nussbacher, you know that his dedication to Talmidim has no bounds. The fact that he's up now at 4:30 in the morning is just a testament to how much he cares about each of the Talmidim. And we ask him to please share with us some Divrei Hesoros as we prepare together for the Yom Noraim.
Okay. Thanks so much, Rabbi Kolinsky. Rishus the Rabbanim of the Yeshiva and Rabbi Kolinsky. Certainly is humbling in general to speak for YU. This is probably the first time that I'm speaking for YU on a very broad, general level. And it's humbling because, reminds me of myself a little bit, as perhaps Rabbi Kolinsky spoke about, reminds myself of my roots. And, I learned in YU, a Talmid of the Rosh Yeshiva of YU. And I definitely have very fond memories of my early days in Shalvim, learning with Rabbi Kolinsky and so many other wonderful, fine Talmidim. So very, very honored and humbled also to be able to speak in this context. I really, really very much appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much. Now, when I saw the date I was meant to speak, I didn't necessarily do all the math. But as the date got closer, I realized, at first I thought, wait a second, is that on Rosh Hashanah? Because that would be kind of awkward, especially I believe there's even some noise about this topic, about when to Zoom and how to Zoom. So then I realized it was only a couple of days before Rosh Hashanah. And I remember thinking, as I get closer to Rosh Hashanah, the level of complexity and intricacy of the ideas sort of tends to start going down, and thoughts of things that are more practical and more real gain traction more and more and more. I think tonight what I'm going to speak about is going to be a lot more, if one could say the metaphorically, more power and less finesse. As a day and a half from now or 2 days' time from now, we will definitely be standing in Rosh Hashanah. So I'm going to speak a little bit more practically as opposed to theoretically. I'd in fact like to speak about three ideas, three relatively practical, applicable ideas about Rosh Hashanah. And I'm going to note with each one of these three ideas a certain point of tefillah where, at least in my mind, these ideas always come to me. And maybe it will be helpful to others as well. The first idea, and those of you who know me, probably if you were going to try to predict, I will probably say that. So here, this point, you are correct. I will probably say that. It's about to happen. And I want to linger on the words, Hayom haras olam, hayom yavi b'mishpat, kol yitzurei olamim. We often think of Rosh Hashanah as being a day where we sort of live in the past. We think about the past, what we've done, what we haven't done, what we should have done. But really, when you think about it, Rosh Hashanah is always very, very much a time of the future. Firstly, Rosh Hashanah does not take place on the last day of the old year. Rosh Hashanah begins on the first day of the new year. We refer to Rosh Hashanah as Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. We don't necessarily call it the beginning of the year. Hakol halachich achar harosh, gufa basar reisha azil. Everything follows the beginning. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Zayin. Keman matzlina na'id na'zeh yom tchilas ma'asecha zikarol yom rishon. According to whose shita do we say those words in tefillah? This is the day, the beginning of creation. K'rabbi Eliezer d'yomar b'tishrei nivra ha'olam. Rosh Hashanah, as much as to a certain extent, we weigh and we look and we reflect on what was, Rosh Hashanah is also a day of future. The first day of the year, Tishrei Nivra Olam, the world is being recreated. The new year, the upcoming year, is being recreated. And we say in davening, Hayom Haras Olam, Hayom Yaviv HaMishpat. Today is the gestation of the world. The world's beginning, all fresh, all new. If I could be slightly poetic, Hayom Haras Olam, the world is now pregnant with possibility for the upcoming year. The new year is being created. It's being created right now. It's a very, very exciting concept. It's also can be a very frightening concept. We all know that we call the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Yomim Noraim. And I think we translate probably interlinearly or something like that. Days of awe. It's a very, very high English. What exactly does that mean? There are a lot of words that connote a certain sense of foreboding, a certain sense of fear. What exactly does Noraim mean? And this is a phrase already begins to pop up in the Rishonim, that these days are called Yomim Noraim. So in Dvarim Yud Alef Chaf Hei, we find a real great contrast between the idea of Pachad and Mora. Lo yisyatzei vish bifneichem. Pachtechem u'morachem yitein Hashem al pnei kol haaretz asher tiduchu ba kasher dibre lachem. Pachtechem u'morachem. The Jews' fear and awe will be over all the nations. What's the difference? So Rashi asked this question. Rashi. Halo pachad u'mora. The Torah is being redundant. Pachad, mora, the same thing. Fear and fear. Explains Rashi. Pachtechem. Ala krovim, morachem ala rechokim. Pachad is for that over those nations that are close. Mora is those nations that are still a little far away. Pachad continues Rashi, lashon biaso pisom. A person is right now suddenly afraid, frightened. Mora is more subtle. Nora is more abstract. Da'agami yamim rabim. I am very, very uneasy about the future. That's Mora, al harachokim. So when we speak about the days of Yomim Noraim as Yomim Noraim specifically, what we're trying to imply is that there's a certain sense of angst as I face and confront an undetermined future. I look towards the future. The world is being created as I stand in shul on Rosh Hashanah. The new year is being built step by step, and I feel slightly uneasy. I once heard a story about this idea in the name of Chaim Shmuel Levitz, but then I experienced a story regarding this idea with Rav Mordechai Willig. So the story of Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz goes that there was an elderly gentleman who everyone knew and everyone loved. And one day he was on his way out to work and he didn't really pay attention, and apparently there were rain clouds building. And he went out to work, and indeed it started to rain, and he got caught in the rain while he was waiting for the bus. And his clothes got wet, socks got wet. He stuck it out through the day of work, but by the time he got home, he wasn't feeling all that well. The next morning he woke up, he was feeling worse, but once again dragged himself out to work. By the time that day ended, he was feeling terrible. Went home, went to bed, he already had fever. By the time he woke up the next morning, he was feeling really, really bad. So he decided to make an appointment at the doctor. By the time he got to the doctor in the afternoon, he was really horrible. The doctor saw him for a few minutes and then said, you know, I really think that something's brewing here. And he sent him to the hospital, but he got seen in the hospital eventually. And turns out they admitted him for a pneumonia. And a couple of days later, unfortunately, apparently it was caught a little bit too late. And a few days later, he passed away. And at the Levi, everyone's like whispering, oh, Mr. So-and-so, we saw him last week, 2 weeks ago. He looked great. What happened? And there's always that maven in the crowd who starts passing around the information. So, oh, remember 2 weeks ago, that rainy day? Well, he went out without a jacket and without an umbrella, and he got wet. He caught a cold 2 weeks ago, and then it just went downhill from there. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz with thunder. He didn't catch a cold 2 weeks ago. He caught a cold 6 months ago on Rosh Hashanah. That day, as he stood in shul, the year was being created, the new year. And it didn't go, you know, quite as well for him as it could have. And I say I had my own experience with this story. But from Mordechai Willig, one of my rabbeim from the yeshiva, those of us who remember will definitely not forget 9/11. And I was in Eretz Yisrael, and things were utterly crazy, 9/11. And all flights, all air travel was canceled. America was not having any planes in, out, none. Now, it was a few days before Rosh Hashanah, and Rav Mordechai Willig had been in Eretz Yisrael for one of his family simcha. And he got stuck in Eretz Yisrael. There were no flights. So word went around the community. I live in Ramat Beit Shemesh. That Rav Mordechai Willig will be unexpectedly spending Shabbos, and he'll be in this shul for Shachris, and he'll be speaking. So I decided to go to hear Rav Willig. I was sure I would hear great things in advance of Rosh Hashanah. And he said a beautiful Dvar Torah, and at the end of the Dvar Torah, he had a personal reflection. He said, Rabosai, every year for Yom Noraim, I am one of the chazanim in the shul, in my shul. And at the end of davening every year, the same scene repeats itself. I stand there by the shtender, and people pass in front. Rabbi, good job. Rabbi, yeshakach, good job. And I always answer the same thing. I always say, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. Let's wait for the year to unfold. And then he became very, very choked up. And he said, as he stood there a few days before Rosh Hashanah, I have no idea if I'm going to even be back with my kehillah for Rosh Hashanah. I have no idea if I'm going to be able to lead the davening in my kehillah. And as I reflect back to almost a year ago after I finished davening, Rabosai, we didn't do a good job. Sometime last Rosh Hashanah, 9/11 was woven into the fabric of the upcoming year. Last year, I stood in davening like we all did, silently absorbing the words of Nisan HaTokev. I don't even know what verb to use for the way one experiences Nisan HaTokev, such an intense tefillah. And I never could have imagined what would unfold this past year. We stood in Rosh Hashanah a year ago. I could be pretty good at perceiving potential pitfalls. Some people even call that pessimism. I'm decent at that. And as much as I thought forwards towards the upcoming year, I never thought pandemic. Not in my wildest dreams with all the creative powers I have. But this whole wild situation that the world's been thrust into, it was all woven into the fabric of the upcoming year, last year on Rosh Hashanah. So as we stand in shul, let's focus on the words, Hayom haras olam, Hayom yamid b'mishpat. We're creating a new year. The year that is yet to come, piece by piece. And we should try to have in mind that it should go well. It's thought number one. Thought number two. And here I'd like to linger on the words, Elokai atzilonotzarti eini kedai. Really a strong, muscle-like statement of a person's shiftless, a person's worthlessness. I remember my first year in YU after I had attended Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, which was my second year in YU total. So I was working very hard. I was in a serious major, and I was running from thing to thing. I was in a very serious shiur. And then I was working very hard in shiur. And I was frantically going from thing to thing. And I was, for the most part, hitting all my spots. I was getting up for a good shachris. And I was having a good morning seder to the best of my abilities. I was serious about shiur. I took my classes seriously. I studied. I did my work. And then night seder seriously, you know, as Rabbi Dr. Berman would want me to say, and I love the phrase, deep, deep into the night. And everything on paper was going great. And at some point I realized I felt so empty inside. I felt like something was seriously wrong. And I remember turning to one of my rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael, one of my rebbeim from yeshiva, until I managed to catch him at a good time. And I it's not my style, but I bared my soul that on paper I thought I was doing everything right, but somehow I don't feel like everything's right. In fact, I feel like everything's quite wrong. And there's an idea that on Rosh Hashanah, it's not necessarily about what we did, but who we are. Rosh Hashanah, especially when you contrast it with Yom Kippur, is focused more on the broad, on the big picture, overall themes. Yom Kippur is very specific, very detailed. This action and that action, and I'll hate about this, and Ashamnu about that. And that's how Yom Kippur is supposed to feel. And Rosh Hashanah is supposed to feel different. Rosh Hashanah is supposed to think bigger. We're not just going to be judged on our deeds, but on Rosh Hashanah, we're judged on who we have become. Take a step back. Look at the person. Of course, the Rambam speaks about this in Hilchos Tshuva. You're familiar with these Rambams. In Perek Beis, he speaks about how one of the aspects of a Baal Tshuva, Mishaneh Shmo, he changes his name. Chlomar, Ani Acher, Ve'eini Oso Ish. I'm a different person. Tshuva involves forgetting for a moment just about the specific action. Reconnecting and redefining who the person is. Let's stop talking about the little details and go for the big picture. Where have you gotten yourself? Who are you? The Shari Tshuva. I have a special fondness for the Sefer Shari Tshuva with Rabbeinu Yonah. I try to revisit it every year. I really hope Rabbeinu Yonah has in some way a tiny little bit of fondness for me and will hopefully take care of me a bit. In Shari Tshuva, towards the beginning of the Sefer, he speaks of the first of his 20 Ikari HaTshuva. The Ikar of Charata. And he expresses this idea so beautifully. He speaks about two different tiers, two levels of Charata. He doesn't say it out loud, but if you read the words, it's so clear. It screams from the page. The basics, HaCharata Yavin Bilvavo Kirav Amar Azvas Hashem. Should be this in despair that it's one left God. Yashiv Elibo Kiesh Onesh. Hello. There's a punishment here. This something's going to go badly. Onesh nokav v'shile malavon v'yischarid amas of arayim. You did this. There's going to be a punishment. You did that. There's going to be something bad's going to happen. Charata. You know, the basics, like any good sichas musar. Charata. A feeling of healthy guilt, not unhealthy guilt, but healthy guilt. And then in the next paragraph, he continues beautifully. V'ramizos. Let's take it up a notch. More fundamentally, what have I done to myself? You've been so cruel to your neshama. Nitmesi, you've become sullied with tumah. Mahawila b'chol kinyoneh. Imra abeinei adoneh. What good am I if now the Ibon Shem doesn't, find me favorable? My neshama is not likable to the Ibon Shem. How did I switch a passing world to a permanent world, to a passing world? How did I make myself like an animal? We're not talking anymore about specifically you did this and that. You're a different person. You're a different person. Your neshama is different. Rosh Hashanah is a lot about who you are. Not absolving us from looking at individual actions. Those count. But there's something more fundamental. And let me continue and just expand this a little bit. Gently expand this idea. And this is an idea that sit in the coastally based medrash of YU, we're familiar with this idea. If I'm asking that we look at ourselves from a broad perspective, who am I? Who have I become? In addition to whatever specific actions need fixing, let's guard this introspection a little bit. There's an idea that every person in the world has a unique mission. You are supposed to be someone special, unique, spiritually different than the person sitting next to you, and spiritually different than the person davening one row in front of you, and spiritually different than the chavrusa who's sitting behind you. Rav Soloveitchik in Yemei HaZikaron expresses this idea beautifully based on the Gemara Nida Daf Lamed Amud Beis, L'mav La Doma B'Mei Imo. That idea of the fetus in utero. And we learn so many beautiful ideas from that Gemara. That he learns Kala Torah Kula with the Malach, and the Rav spoke about so many famous ideas there. But the Rav also lingered on the end of the Gemara. That before the Vlad is born, Mashbin Oso, as he comes into the world, he takes an oath. Titzadik va'alti rasha. Be righteous, don't be evil. And the Rav developed the theme, Shlichus Adam, that everyone in the world has a unique mission. And one of the first things he quotes beautifully is a famous idea from Rav Kook in his Parish on Siddur Olas Re'iyah. And it's on the words that I want to highlight here. Elokai et shelo notzarti, eini kedai. And Rav Kook said, Koloso Azman, the whole time that the world was been rolling for years and years and years until I was created, the world never needed me. Had the world needed me, I would have been created already. If the world wasn't perfect without me, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows how to do perfection. I would have arrived on the scene. But I didn't come till now. Now I'm here. That's a sign that until now, I was unnecessary in this world. But now, it's impossible for the world to reach completion and perfection unless I do what I'm supposed to do, my special role in this world. We read the sense, Elokai Shel Notzarti Eini Kedai, and we can think multiple thoughts as we daven. And we think, I failed so much. I'm not worth much. And that's also a thought. That is definitely a thought of tshuva. At the same time, though, there's another parallel idea. The idea that I have such a special purpose in this world. And this is what the Rav said, the shvua is. Teitzadik valti rashi, you're about to enter the world. You're entering the world like no one else has ever entered the world before. No one. You have a special role. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to do specific certain things. Make sure when you go out that you do them. Elokai Shel Notzarti Eini Kedai. I saw this exact same idea in the writings of Rabbi Yerucham Olshin. He quotes the Sfas Emes, his drush on Shabbos Shuva. Hine ikar ha-tshuva l'taken ha-shlichus shenishlach adam l'olam. This is the main idea of tshuva. To fix your shlichus. Are you, what is it? Do you know it? You're not the same as the guy next to you. And you're not saying the same shmonas as the other guy. You're shlichus, shenishlach adam l'olam. We have to fix that. We have to be aware of it and fix it. He darshan so beautifully. In Yeshayo, Perek Nun Hey, we're so familiar with this Perek. Dirshu Hashem bimatzo karov yoso karov. Ki kasher yeireira geshem vashel agal hashamayim v'shem alo yashuv ki mervas haaretz v'lo yidav etzmicha. The rain and the snow come down in the world. They do what they're supposed to do. Lo yashuv ki yim hirvas haaretz. They never fail in their shlichus. Keni edvari, asher reitzemi pi lo yashuv alei reikam. So too, man. Lo yashuv alei reikam. That neshama is not going back empty-handed. Ki yim asos asher chafatzti, v'tzliach asher shlachtiv. So he succeeds in his personal journey. Shlichus. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Kook, the Sfas Emes. On Rosh Hashanah, we look at ourselves in the entirety. You're not absolved from responsibility for specific actions. But also take a step back. Where have I gotten myself? Do I know my role in the world? Why am I here? I have a specific, unique role. And let's please reflect on whether or not we're actually accomplishing it. Elokai Shel Notzarti Eini Kedai. And I'd like to point out a third point. You can't speak about Rosh Hashanah this year in generic terms. This Rosh Hashanah, it's not just about a personal mission. The entire Rosh Hashanah experience this year is much, much more personal. Some of us may not even be in shul. I'm very unclear as to where I'll be allowed to be and where I'll be. I don't know to this moment. Maybe we'll be in shul for much less time than usual. The davening may be much different than usual. This is the most unique Rosh Hashanah we've ever had. It is not the same as last year's Rosh Hashanah, the last 10 years Rosh Hashanah. When did we ever have a Rosh Hashanah like this? It's much easier to get inspired for things that happen once in a lifetime, isn't it? There is not going to be another Rosh Hashanah in the midst of, Bez Hashem, I hope, the Rosh Hashanah should have mercy, and the world should somehow get back to something we're a little bit more familiar with. A once-in-a-lifetime Rosh Hashanah. And more than any year, this is a good concept every year, but more than any year, we have a big, big responsibility to create a personal, inner Rosh Hashanah experience. We can't count on the surroundings. We don't know how they're going to be. We can't rely on that packed hall with hundreds of people, with my favorite chazen leading the charge. We have no idea. It may not be. I saw a couple of beautiful quotes recently by contemporary Rabbanim that sum up this feeling so beautifully. Rav Lipiansky spoke about tefillah in general towards the beginning of the whole pandemic, and he said very, very important words. When we go to shul, we hop onto the tzibur's bandwagon. If the tzibur is warm and the chazan's inspiring, we feel we davened well. But now we're locked out of shul. It's just me and Hashem. And all the time in the world, what does my solitary davening feel like? Is the tzibur enhancing my davening? Or really, perhaps, they're the ones davening, and I'm just sort of hitching along for the ride. Davening, after all, in the end of the day, is primarily a personal relationship with Hashem. We daven with the tzibur, and it's uplifting and inspiring. But are we davening? And this year, the onus is on us. I can't count on anyone else. Who knows? Recently, I saw a similar thought expressed more specifically about the Yom Narayim by Rav Reuven Leuchter. The community, of course, is so important, the foundation of Jewish life. But over the past few months, we realized that we can't rely necessarily just on the community. We have to be willing to go based on our own individual lives. And then he adds, if our religious lives are based on the community, the Yom Narayim are especially so. Every year, most of us daven in a large minyan. The atmosphere is electric. The tefillos are inspiring. We're part of a massive team. Everyone can mentally imagine for a moment, you know, their high point of davening as the entire tzibur comes together in whatever is the most moving part of davening. It's part of a massive team, a common effort. He says it's exhilarating. Try to imagine going through Rosh Hashanah on your own. And then he notes that he heard from Rav Volbi, author of the Ali Shur, that his most inspiring Rosh Hashanah may very well have been the one he spent almost alone after the war in a DP camp in Sweden without a minion. We have to have an ability to create our own inner Rosh Hashanah. Rav Osai, for this third idea, when do I think of this third idea during davening? When am I going to feel this idea? And I'll tell you, it's a very, very poignant moment. We say in davening, Kivakaras Roa Edro, Ma'avir Tsono Tachas Shivto. The Ribbono Shel Olam Rosh Hashanah is like a shepherd, passing each sheep, one by one, under his staff. In 2 days, we're going to stand there in davening, wherever we stand. And we'll hopefully be in some sort of minyan with some group, but it'll be us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. We'll envision ourselves individually passing before our Kadosh Baruch Hu, like sheep. We'll pass before him and he'll pause. He'll gaze deeply into our eyes. And if I could resort to Yiddish for a moment, even though I don't really know Yiddish, he'll look at us, Shefela, my dear Shefela, what have you been up to this year? What have you become this year? What does the future look like for this upcoming year? Just us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. It may be one of the most inspiring, one of the most intimate, and simultaneously one of the most frightening moments of the tefillah. Us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, one-on-one. Kivakaras Roa Edro, Mavritsono Tachas Shivto. It's all really going to be about us. We can't really count on anything else. That moment is going to be our pinnacle of Rosh Hashanah. So I conclude, I wish YU, the Rosh HaYeshiva, my Rabbanim, I wish all of you, of course, Talmidim of YU, many of whom I know well, I've had shared so much with, I hope that we'll all together create our own very personal, but create a new year. A new year that's going to be hopefully much better, much different than this year for ourselves, for our families, for Klal Yisrael. Hayom haras olam, hayom yamid b'mishpat. We have the ability to create a beautiful new year, this Rosh Hashanah. We can't miss out on that ability. I hope we'll create a year where we become more in touch with our personal mission. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my role in the world? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me? And it's special. It's unique. I have to become aware of that. I have to take significant steps towards accomplishing that. Elokai at shelo notzarti eini kedai. Where am I? Am I really fulfilling what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from me? And lastly, may we each create our own personal Rosh Hashanah experience. Individual. Wherever we are, our inner world, our inner Rosh Hashanah. And we sit there basking in the glow of being individually present, one-on-one with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kivakoras ro'ejo, mavertsono tachashivto. I give you a bracha. I hope you'll return the bracha to myself, my family, or just residents of Eretz Yisrael, that we should all tap into these three ideas and be zocha together to aksiv achsima tova. I so much appreciate this opportunity to have spoken and wishing us all the best. Thank you so much.